Welcome to the wrestling show. This is where we will be discussing the preview to the WWE pay-per-view coming up Sunday, Survivor Series, and giving you all of the betting lines as well as our opinion. I'm Cab Manning. I am from the Lingus Mafia podcast. You probably have heard the Wrestlingus show on this feed, and I have always told you, go check out the Patreon, but check out my pinned tweet to see what you could win for signed merchandise. That is at Lingus Mafia. I'm with Billy Body, the man you all love to listen to, and that's your secret, like it's their guilty pleasure, Billy. They talk shit, but then you see all the downloads, so they're obviously listening. That's Mr. Billy Body.
No one talks shit on this show.
No.
About this show.
Not here. No. Because this is when they come here because they like us. So they're here because they actually enjoy it. I don't know. You would like to say the same on the Conan show. Like, well, why would you watch if you don't enjoy it? But they want the news, so they have no choice. So I think that's why they go there, and they're just rooting for you to fail. I don't have a clue, but this is what we call a safe space. Where we could talk to our type of people. People who aren't politically correct, who don't conform, who say what they feel and give a shit what anyone else says. We could swear on this one a lot more. Billy, you did a good job yesterday. You only swore one time and you caught yourself when you did it.
Did I not do another one at the end?
You never did. Like... No, not that I'm aware of. You maybe then if you felt you did, but I was trying to be aware of it to... hit a button to blow a whistle on you. But no, I was like, oh, I think you only did it the one time. I know I didn't, so I won. We'll have contests every week. I almost did. I said BS instead of the words, and I said stuff instead of shit. But I don't know. AEW says shit every day, so is that a swear word anymore? I don't know. Maybe on...
It's YouTube's like algorithm for how many people you're suitable for. That's how it works.
Is shit going to be something they have to bleep out for that show on YouTube?
Yeah.
Even shit. Okay. We were going to talk yesterday on the Conan show that we do about some Survivor Series stuff. So we just said, you know what? Come on over to the Dirty Sheets and listen to what we have to say over there because we were busy with AEW stuff. So Survivor Series is this weekend, Billy, and I'm not jumping up and down. We talked about this on the other show, and I try to put a finger on it, Billy. I try to think, why am I not excited? Because there are still times where I go, ooh, pay-per-view, yay, you know, but now I'm like, yeah, pay-per-view. I don't know if it's because of storyline-wise that I don't give a shit, because like we said, we care about one match, actually, because it's more real-life stuff, but... I don't know if it's because we're just swamped and drowned by their product that it is overloaded and it's too much. Too much of something is not good. Your favorite food, you eat it every day. I don't think you're going to like it anymore.
Yeah, but at the same time, would you be excited about this Survivor Series had it been built up with 1 hour of Raw and 1 hour of SmackDown per week? The fact that they hadn't actually built up the matches during the TV time, because even back in the day where you had WWE superstars, like people would say things about each other. This format doesn't work because they haven't even interacted. They haven't even bothered. We'll see what happens tonight with the big brawl with the two teams like fight each other in the build up to the Survivor Series. And also, it's like fucking okay. Imagine the Green Bay played Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next season, and you had Rodgers and Adams, and we had fucking Fields and Montgomery, right?
Yeah.
And it was basically the whole team had just swapped, and they just were under a different name. Like, how could you? That's what this is. Look at the teams from Raw and SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
It's before they started changing them and taking people out, which is bizarre anyway, they were 100% people that were already on that show. The Raw team were 100% SmackDown draftees, and the SmackDown team were 100% Raw. It was almost like a troll
they
job.
They just swapped all the sides. They changed, they handed each other shirts.
Right. And at the same time, like, their build up to this was, let's announce some teams on Twitter and then we'll change them en route to the show. That'll be the story. We'll make teams and then we'll change them.
Do you think that's why they like took people out of it? Because they heard people going, boy, you guys are retarded.
That's even more retarded, though. The way you do it is to earn your way into the teams. Mm-hmm. But instead, they made teams and thought, oh, the story will be that we'll take the teams apart. It's like really fucking stupid. Like, I don't understand who come. It's almost like they're trying to troll you and say, let's see how lazy we can actually get. Let's see how much they'll cut. Let's see how much they'll deal with. Like, let's really abuse them. Let's hit them, spit on them, piss on them, shit on them.
And
like,
make fucking them still buy it.
Yeah. It's almost like that. But the thing is, internally, because I'm like connected through my sources, I know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I know that they fucking write and write and they think and write and they rewrite and they come up with what we see, which is unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. There's actually an effort going into this shit that we see.
That's what's funny is, as bad as it is, someone was really trying to do this. But from what we hear, though, also, is that, like, because we go, these writers, these fucking assholes. And it's not them, though, because from what we hear from other people is they have turned in good things that are cool here and there. I'm obviously not 100% like, oh, the show would be a billion times, but they turn it in and Vince X's shit off 2 seconds before it goes on the air and goes, no, I think this is better, which just shows that.
The hell?
What the fuck was that?
That's you calling me on FaceTime.
What? How? Yeah. I'm on it with you right now. How the hell is it calling you?
It's still calling me now. So
wow. FaceTime. That's bizarre. The phone's not even near me. You're plugged in. I have you plugged in. That's how I record with you. That's odd. Maybe it's the text message that went over. Does that do it?
No. It's the, it says at Cav FaceTime. It's basically just, this phone's dead and it's just come on as it's been charging. And now it's telling me that I had a FaceTime call on that number. Because the email is connected to two different FaceTimes, I can pick it up on different devices.
Yeah.
But the other device came on and it decided to fucking. I mean, I wonder what would happen if I answered it. I'm too lazy.
You would have heard me from 20 minutes ago talking to you. We'd have been in a time warp. But anyway, it makes us think, you know, Vince really has to be senile at this point. He really has to just be. He can't look at the product and go, that's really good. This is good, as they say, this is good shit. I can't imagine that he sees this and thinks it's a good job. I can't imagine any of them in the back look at this and say, this is a good job. Did you ever hear from, like, would you ask Drew that kind of stuff before where you say, do you think the show is shit? Do you see that it's shit? Or can you not see it because you're involved?
No. That's a difficult question to answer. That's because there is an answer to it, but we're in a situation where we're on a different platform now.
Yeah.
And there may be that crop of people who are coming across to sabotage. And
sure.
I mean, you already see the comments under there. When you ask me sort of those origin questions about how you get news or can you talk about what you can say about sources, etc. Someone surmised underneath there that, oh, so basically his source is Drew McIntyre, which actually, if you'd listen long term, I've always said that's a terrible source. That's not a source at all.
Like, it isn't. I know firsthand from you. That is not a source even. You would think it would be. You really would. You would think you would get a lot of stuff or they know nothing. They're so in the dark.
No, and this isn't, well, exactly. Look at the releases. Look at the releases. Nobody knew that they were coming beforehand, and everybody's surprised by them. They all get that same email. I mean, the Drew story I always tell is me finding out he was winning the Rumble before he did. And you would think that would be indicated to him via the television, you know, he's turning up for work every day and going, oh, this is what we're doing on Sunday or whatever. But no, that's not the case. You'll really be shocked about how little they know, and you'll really be shocked about how much they plan and how much they change. Like, we gave Dave Meltzer a lot of shit when we say, he says, oh, this changed, that changed, whatever. But I do feel that he's using that as an excuse, because I feel that when he got stuff, things did change, or he hears about stuff changing, and it's easy to turn around and say it. So I think now he gets to the point where he can just guess and say that it changed, because it is a reputable and verified thing that you can say, because people like Sapp and Johnson and me, who do get information from people, will say, oh, that, you know, that did change. But the difference between me and them is when I catch Dave Meltzer out on things where he said it changed, and I can say, no, it didn't. The thing you're saying changed wasn't ever a thing. So that's the thing where he gets caught out with.
Can you say...
But with the Drew question, just let me say, with the Drew question, without stating too much, yes, obviously he knows it's bad. Yes, obviously we talk about specific things that are bad. And yes, he never wanted the sword, ever. And doesn't think
so he really should have put his fucking foot down. I think he has enough stroke to say, I'm not doing it.
I think for him, it's a case of picking battles and
he's a good soldier, right? He just, he's employed, and your boss says to do something and you do it. I understand that as well.
Yeah. And also to think, oh, fuck, it's really difficult. Like, and I'm getting all flustered and stuttery just because I'm concerned about the moron listenership that we've picked up as of late. But
you got the moron factor.
Yeah, but to say that situation was something that he was enamored with is certainly not true. But at the same time, it was sold to him in terms of the positive elements and to coincide with the direction the company are going in, if that makes sense, with their marketing, and everybody needs to have a tagline or a brand, and everybody needs to have their thing. And you're seeing that consistently throughout the show. We have kings and queens and bosses and last kickers, and you know, we
everybody got to have a character of some sort.
Yeah. Architects and all kinds of bullshit. So
Art Vandelay is going to show up eventually.
Yeah, so Scottish warriors needed to be literally, in a literal sense, Scottish warriors with the clothing and the gear and the merchandise lining. And
I was going to say, the merchandise thing, I can understand it going to. Like, you'd be like, well, are we going to sell plastic swords? I could get rich. That's fine, then.
Well, he pitched that himself. Like, they didn't have any...
Oh, my God.
Any ideas to do that. But once he said, this is a direction that we're going to go in. So we want to hear your ideas in relation to this direction. Yeah, he did come up with the plastic sword. I just think it's very difficult to become the guy, the number one guy with such a strong gimmick, with such a strong gimmick. What am I trying to say?
Like they push a character or a cartoony type of thing with.
Exactly, yeah, that's it. With such a cartoony image. It's almost like
it's an action figure.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like
He-Man.
Hercules, when he was in the WWF back in the 80s, he was never going to be the champion with that gimmick. I mean, he looked great. Like, yeah. I mean, if you had put Hercules under without the chains and everything, and just went, "Oh, this is a guy. This is, you know, whatever."
You could even have had him with the chains, but not the name Hercules. Right there, you're in trouble. I think you're limited with that.
I'm not too sure. But then I guess you could argue and say during that time that they were pushing a Hulk Hogan. So I don't really know. But yeah, we look at where Hercules went to, and in this modern day era, like it's difficult to see how you can push these guys. But then everybody needs to have a thing. With Roman, he may be like the head of the bloodline, head of the table, all that kind of stuff. But it's, he's not properly like a mafia boss where they say, oh, he's a mafia boss with the cigars and the gold rings and the suits and Tony Montana and everything like that, because that would be too cliche. They would be bringing it back too much round to Razor Ramon, if that makes sense. But he's the closest we had to somebody redoing Razor, but he's kind of like a 2021 Razor Ramon almost, but leading a faction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I mean, you could even see if you replaced Roman with Razor with the loud outfits, it would be very, it would be Tony Montana, like you said. It's very, you know, with the Cuban and everything like that. And he would sit there with that loud outfit and, you know, giving orders and stuff like that. He could have totally done that role too. But yeah, I mean, this is the one thing we have, I think, over there is Roman.
Should we talk about the Survivor Series?
Yeah, I want to go down a list, and I'm looking at CBSSports.com, and they have the list of the matches, and they start with the biggest one first. So we'll go in order of what they have, just because it's in front of me, and that's the two champions. You have Roman Reigns versus Big E. I obviously we know that Roman's not going to lose anything for quite a while.
You think 100%?
In this match, or you mean for a long time not lose anything?
Lose this match.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's not losing this match. Obviously, there's always a chance, but I can't imagine if he loses this match, it's not a pin. I can't imagine that.
I don't think they can do any DQ finishes on this show. This show's already too underwhelming as it is. I don't think you can do any DQ finishes. I think you can protect Big E by having the Bloodline involved and the New Day involved. But for me, like, when this initial concept came around, I was always looking for a way to always make it 3-2 or 4-3 or whatever. Yeah. But I've seen over the years that this company can't do anything.
Because like, they had a sweep last time, right? So, I mean, it could go anywhere.
They've had sweeps on both sides, I believe. Like, they had, didn't they have, who got swept last year? SmackDown got swept.
Raw, yeah, and that's what was funny, because we all knew SmackDown was the better show. And I was like, Raw, they're trying to push Raw as come watch Raw. And it was like, please, give me a break. And it's almost like they forced, oh, Raw's better. So, I mean, I've always had a problem with this Survivor Series, because it's hard for me to think, how would you protect anyone? Like, I can't imagine anyone being pinned on the title champion.
There was a sweep last year, because there was a sweep. They did a sweep a couple of years ago as well.
Was it? I swear that's what they were saying when, like, Pierce was out there on, like, on one of the shows saying there was a sweep. I thought so. But, I mean, you're the encyclopedia, better than I am.
Let me have a look. I'm not sure. I know there was a sweep. I think it was back in, I thought 2017 or 2018 was a sweep, perhaps.
It had to be in front of people, right? They wouldn't have done that in a fucking.
Last year was the weird one where Undertaker was the last thing.
Oh, yeah, that was the retirement in the fucking with nobody there. Jesus Christ, what a disaster.
All right, the results last year. Team Raw won. The Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks beat Oscar for Team SmackDown. No, there's no sweep here. Team Raw won. Unless they're talking about Team Raw winning the 2 5-on-5 matches.
That might have been what they're talking about. I remember it was all Raw that won one year, though, because it was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was 2018.
Okay.
Trust me.
And they're going back to that.
Let me check. 2018, Team Raw. I don't know where Buddy Murphy was on. Team Raw, Ronda Rousey was Team Raw, Brock Lesnar was Raw. Yeah, it was 2018, I'm right. 2018 was the sweep. And last year, I think there was a sweep if you count the 2 5-on-5 matches, but SmackDown won, because I know Drew lost to Roman Reigns last year, remember?
Yeah.
So, and that was when it was Roman versus Orton, and because Orton had won the belt at the pay-per-view before and didn't even make it to the pay-per-view with the belt because they changed their mind about it, and they were saving Drew and Roman, and they thought, fuck it, let's just do it at a Survivor Series and just flip the belt around, which was so fucking stupid. I think that was the beginning of the end for Drew. That's when we got the sword. The sword came after he lost the belt. The sword was supposed to be like this
replacement,
whole redeeming, rebuilding thing. It's like, you lost your edge. Here's a sword. This is a sharpened. this is so edgy, it will literally cut you. Like, so.
And the whole, what was it, Sheamus, right? Oh, I went, what did he go to? Sheamus went to his mother's attic or some weird shit, right?
Oh, yeah, I was fucking your mother and she left this around my house.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
It wasn't that, but yeah.
That would have been a better storyline.
Oh, anything's better. You can fucking throw a dart shit and fucking have a better story.
True, very true. So, I mean, I could see this match, like we say. I would more so think that there was going to be some type of interference to be able to pin Big E so he could save some face. It would help Big E 100 times more than it would help Roman with a win, but it would have to be like a pin win, not just, oh, I got... I mean, Woods got a win over Roman last week, but it's not like it's a fucking real win. I mean, you see what happened where Roman goes, oh, no, I'll kneel. I see. There you go. I kneeled. And then they put a crown on his fucking head, which was brilliant. So but there's no way. You imagine Big E just fucking flat out pins fucking Roman Reigns.
No, I don't. No. I think Roman Reigns wins this, obviously. But yeah, it just seems like you have to look through the whole card and you have to work out this result and that result, and then it equals this result. You feel like you have to do that in order to find a way to make this pay-per-view at least somewhat level. But I just feel that I've done that too many years on this pay-per-view where I thought to myself that, oh, the drama is all who wins the last match. And last year, actually, I think they might have got it right. But in previous years, they had something where NXT had won before the final match. Like, NXT were already, like, winning, like, 3-2-1 or something. And then the women's match as well, which was the main event, meant absolutely nothing. When Shayna won it, it was just a case of, if she didn't win, I think SmackDown could have gone level or something. And then the year before that, we had the sweep. I believe when they first started this, back in 2016, I think they had something where it resembled a real competition and there was interest in it. And that was also the year where Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar in 2 minutes. Like that I think is one of my favorite Survivor Series, because it was the very first one of these. And it also had that Goldberg match with Lesnar on it. And that was a real surprise, because at the time Lesnar weren't losing to anyone. Like he didn't even lose the title. He even lost the title through a Money in a Bank cash-in, which is how they had to get the belt off him. So he wasn't losing to anybody at all. He was still riding all that momentum from Undertaker's streak, and then Goldberg just comes and beats him.
And it was a nice shock, too, because I was in shock. I know that. It was like, oh, my God. And Brock is so good, too. Brock doesn't half-ass anything. When he does, like, he sells so well, all that kind of stuff. So that was fun. What are the odds for the Roman and Big E?
It's 1-4 on Roman and 3-1 on Big E.
Okay. 1-4 on Roman. Yeah. All right. The SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair versus the Raw Women's Champion, which we have seen. This is the one match that we're actually really interested in.
And would you put this on last? Do you think there's enough?
You could.
Like, do you think there's enough interest widespread, or do you think you really need to be like kind of a mark to know the ins and outs of it? Because I feel like, you know, those interviews on Ariel Helwani, BT, like, I don't feel you need to be obsessed with WWE to be seeing these.
Mm-hmm. I think this is something that, I mean, even just from their storylines in the ring, and throwing the belt at each other and stuff. I think that's enough to have people get it. I don't know if it's enough for flat out main event when you have Roman Reigns there, you know, and it should be big title versus big title kind of at the end anyway. But I know they're into the whole, oh, we have to do this. You know, it's women. We have to put them forward. But I mean, it's very interesting watching that interview with Becky. I know people go, oh, they're bullshitting. You know, this is all work and this and that. And I'm like, but we know better. And it's odd because they were friends for real. And then they're kind of like, Becky's a little pissy about this whole thing where she's saying something else was supposed to happen. And she won't tell the interviewer what was really supposed to happen. And she had told people ahead of time she's going to do something different. And she actually did, which is very... I mean, what the... Who the fuck Charlotte thinks she is? I mean, give me a break. If she left, would you really fucking notice? I think it would be a relief.
That's you, though. You're not a fan.
Yeah, but I'm fine with her wrestling ability, but it's the fact that they shove it down your throat and it's constant, just give her a title every fucking time. You know, that's the biggest issue. If she was, you know, not getting a title every 4 seconds, it's a different story. But it is constant. So I think people would be like, good, finally, somebody else could have a fucking title. And they would get rid of it.
If she's the best wrestler in the women's division, or one of the best, right? Or, you know, they don't have enough people to have a feud. Like, she can't get into a feud. I mean, the men aren't even having feuds. If fucking, yeah. I mean, over the years, we've had somewhere Rollins has been a guy who they've had to find stuff for. He went with the Mysterios and he had a feud with Edge. So they have had to find stuff for Rollins, but it's rare that people outside of that level even have feuds. Mm-hmm. So what's she supposed to do? Like, if she's not going to be involved in a title, what's she going to have? A three-match program with Dana Brooke across three pay-per-views where somebody wins 2-1.
Yeah.
Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, this division is so bad. So she has to have the title because she's a worthy contender.
Because she's too big for anybody else to have believably beat her.
Right.
I'd pick Becky to win this. I think this is one of those things where it's almost going to be more of a punishment for Charlotte to lose. And I think because if she went off script and that's real, then head people in charge, as in Vince, should be pretty pissed off and be like, no, you don't just do what you want to do. You do what we tell you to do. We pay you. This is your job. So I think the punishment is, and you will win. You will lose clean to Becky.
I think you will get some resistance from that, though.
Yeah, but at the same time, what choice do you have? Resistance to what? Okay, then see you later. You're going to refuse to do your job? You're not even dropping a belt. You're getting pinned. I love the people that like say no. It's like, it's your job. You're Vince's action figures to play with, and you're being paid to do it. If he wants you to do this or that, it's your fucking job you signed up for. I understand suggesting and going, how about we do this or that? I think this is a bad idea. Overall, guess whose choice it is? He owns them.
What's this guy talking? What's he talking about? Why did Umar think Billy Gunn was dead?
I think he's just fucking around. Umar in our group chat, I thought he was dead because Billy Gunn is being dragged out of mothballs to have a fight tonight. I think he's just fucking around. See, Umar just wanted to get his name on the video. So do you think that Becky's going to win this match, or do you think there's going to be some bullshit?
Ugh, I have no idea about this match. I know that they're going to be sold out at the curtain where I know people want to watch it. And I know people want to watch it because it's built up to a point. It's like fucking Shawn and Bret. It really is because, as Disco said yesterday, because Sure, lost to people. He said he wouldn't lie down for anybody, but he did. He did lose to people. Like, he lost the title to Razor and whatnot. Not many, but he did lose to people. And if they said to him, you know, you're going to have to lose one match to The Undertaker, and you're going to have to then you win one or whatever, he would do that. You know, and at the same time, you know, Brett will lose to people too. They lost throughout their careers. So. Yeah. It was the issue of losing to the other guy, and it's become the same issue here. Like, Becky lose to anybody, Charlotte lose to anybody, she has done. You don't get to 74 championships that she's got without losing 73 matches. So, I mean, it's just, it's built up to this whole thing. It's like, I'm not going to fucking lose to you, and it is real. So I don't know how you go with it.
What are the odds?
I wish we'd done this match last, because I could tell you I could have a more of an estimated score in my head. Becky 1-2, Charlotte 6-4.
Okay. Explain what all that is.
I have to do it all the time.
I know.
if you put $100 on Becky, you win $50 profit. If you put $100 on Charlotte, you win $150 profit.
So they're all on Becky for this.
It's not by low. That sounds like a lot more than it is. But
it does sound like a lot more.
I would just blindly bet Charlotte here, because this is very up in the air. And Becky could almost carry more political weight by saying, oh, fuck it, I'll lose. I'll beat a bigger person. And then, you know, she's losing but winning.
Oof, I can't imagine with that character, this and that she actually just gets pinned by Charlotte after that. I guess going forward, I'll just ask you who's the favorite in betting. So the next one we have here is the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. That's Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley versus Drew, Xavier, Jeff Hardy, Happy Corbin, and they say one to be announced. Yeah, we still don't know. So do you know who the mystery man is?
I don't, but I assume we'll find out tonight.
Do you think your guy knows? You know what? To be honest, I don't know if he really would know. They do not tell them shit, which we've always said, well, don't you have to get together with the person to, you know, figure out a match together? And it's like, and they don't even know, like, until right before.
I think if you look through the roster, there will be, like, some viable people. Obviously, it's not going to be Sammy because he was taken out of the team. Now, you could be looking at new people that are on SmackDown. New people to bring over to SmackDown. Like, so it's not going to be anyone from Hit Row. you could bring someone up from NXT. Walter was supposed to be going to SmackDown. He could be somebody that's on the team. Or it could just be some bullshit, like they just turn around tonight and go, Jinder, you're on the team.
Oh, my God. I'm expecting something so lackluster, like they go, oh, it's that Mad Hatter guy. And be like, oh, this is the fucking big surprise. You know, one of this bullshit. How about it's whatever the hell Elias is now? Where's he?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Something like that. It could just be something like that where it's just either an Elias or a Walter coming up from NXT. I mean, and that, the sad thing is, that would be at the top end of what this could possibly be. At the bottom end of it, you are legitimately looking at them just turning around and saying, okay, it's somebody that is on SmackDown but wasn't initially on the team. So there you go, fucking Jinder or whatever, go and be on the team.
From what I've heard or whatever, I isn't it like supposed to be Drew McIntyre who just wins this whole thing and he's the last one?
Who'd you hear that off me?
I think I might have heard it off you. Because it's the next thing in line for the Romans, so they kind of got to build them up, you say?
Yeah, I don't think that Drew McIntyre is anywhere near as strong as he was a while ago. And I almost feel like he would have to beat Roman. Would have to win this match to be viable for Roman. But I don't know with his company. They do stupid shit. But the SmackDown team on paper is much, much weaker than the Raw team. But with Drew in it alone, you would think that he finds a way to win it. And obviously the mystery partner, if it's someone decent, it would strengthen it. But as I said, don't be surprised if it's fucking Jinder Mahal or Cesaro. Is Cesaro in the team already or not?
No. I was even thinking, I go, maybe it's Boogs. He goes there, you know. But, I mean, would you be happy if it was Goldberg? I would like that better than any of these other options.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, anything's better than just these guys, just these roster guys just coming on and being on the team.
It's got to be a legend. It's got to be something, because I almost think that they, hell, who, maybe watch it's Undertaker. Because this is the whole, you know, there's always something debuting at Survivor Series. Weren't they just pushing that? That there's always a debut, and it's like, oh, look at this new guy.
Yeah, well, they're talking about Rock and Undertaker and whatnot, but what new guy can you put on here? Walter. I mean, could you bring up fucking Johnny Gargano or something like that?
Oh, God.
It's not going to be as big as you're making it out to be. Plus, there's loads of guys like aren't on there. Like, you spoke about Boogs. Like, you talked about what's Elias doing. You talk about Madcap Moss. You talk about Jinder Mahal. You're looking at maybe a Cesaro. Who else? Apollo Crews isn't on this pay-per-view.
He's on Raw, though.
Apollo Crews?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he just moved, didn't he?
Because yeah. I don't blame you for not knowing. Fuck, who the hell would know? He showed up one time and said, let me introduce myself. Fuck. It will be such a letdown, though. I mean, but this company.
Ricochet?
Oh, God. You imagine that this, oh, hey, here's the new. Well, I mean, they might announce it tonight, though. So it might not be where we're waiting for something.
I think the way they did that other one, I think they will announce it tonight. I think they'll, I wouldn't be surprised if when it starts, there's a match with like six guys for the spot or whatever.
You know,
jobber guys that goes through two breaks and kills that time as well.
If they don't announce it tonight, I'll expect something big.
Okay.
That's the way it should work.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. Watch it be Mad Hat.
Team SmackDown are the favorites to win it. So obviously that Drew theory is echoed.
Okay. The Intercontinental. Oh, actually, sorry. We go to the other team Raw and SmackDown, the women's one. Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, Zelina versus SmackDown, which is Sasha, Shotzi, Shayna, Natalya, and someone to be announced again. This is the thing. If we don't get the announcement tonight, then I'm expecting something big. I expect Trish Stratus to show up and do something.
I think it'll be Naomi. I think Naomi gets on the team somehow.
Really? Okay. And, you know, I would think Sasha should... Oh, God. I think Sasha and Shitzy probably will get in something that will get them out of here, right?
Yeah, I find it very difficult to see the team Raw not winning this. This one is actually... Bianca, bet as a 50-50, as a 50-50. It's 10 to 11. Well, Bianca can't really have another match with Becky, so I'm leaning more towards Liv and Rhea, to be honest. And also, Rhea Ripley's in this match without her tag team partner. Mm-hmm. I don't think you put her in this unless you think, all right, we need to build Rhea Ripley up for something. I think like she would be somebody who can challenge Becky Lynch at a big pay-per-view like the Royal Rumble, and people would be interested in it. And I think she would be... She's not in here by accident. It makes no sense that she's in here and her partner isn't.
Yeah, and that is very, very odd to me, too, because you're like, shouldn't the tag champions be... But do you see, like, it looks like Nikki's finally going to freak out and turn bad guy or something and get rid of this stupid gimmick because she's all pouty because she's losing and shit like that. So... Maybe there's a reason for Rhea to lose. Oh, really? When Zelina was ripping the shit out of her last week? Where it's...
I didn't see her getting back.
Yeah, she was all upset in the ring and because she kept on, you're the loser, you're still the loser, you lose, you know, your loser partner. It was a lot of that, and she was sitting in there like all angry and pouting and like that she was a loser and Rhea had to try to calm her and don't worry about it. And so it was one of those, you know... I think it's a don't fucking touch me. I don't, you know, don't console me, motherfucker. So I think it's turning into that, which I'll be thrilled for at least because I can't stand shit.
I don't, yeah, neither can I, but I don't see a heel in there either. I don't think that's going to be that great.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the only way I think that Rhea would get out of here. But Okay. But so you're thinking more Liv and Rhea hang on to win. I'll go with Rhea and Bianca to win. Intercontinental title versus U.S. title, and nobody gets to change any belts, but it's Shinsuke, IC title, SmackDown, and Damian Priest on the other side for U.S. I would say Damian Priest wins this one just because he's newer and needs the wins more and needs to, you know, be impressive more than Shinsuke does. Like I said, it is so hard for me to see any of these people like just flat getting pinned, but they do. We've seen it in past years where, because it's like, this is how they fuck up. It's a world champion of some sort getting pinned, which should never happen because back in the day, nobody had the, oh, well, it's a non-title match. They lost, because now it's guaranteed if there's a non-title match, they lose. So, but nowadays I will see Shinsuke lose to Damian Priest.
I don't have anything to add to it, what you're saying. So yeah, I think that he will win. I can't see Shinsuke getting this win. I mean, Priest hasn't lost for a long time. I don't think he's ever lost on Raw, has he? Oh, he had that one stupid loss to The Miz, which everybody was complaining about.
Is Miz off Dancing with the Stars? I think he's out this last week. I think he finally got out, which ruins their plans, which I'm kind of glad, because you know he would have had that trophy on the fucking show, and he would have been talking how he's the Dancing with the Stars champion. That's all we would have heard, and that's all the character would have been. So I'm glad it's not there anymore, which is weird because he's just going to come back with no Morrison now and just be there. Who's favorite in the gambling? Is it Priest?
Yeah, Priest is the 1-5 favorite.
Okay. Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro versus SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos. I will take the Usos because they're in that bloodline deal.
I know who they should get as the guy for the SmackDown partner.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Can he just shoot them all down and be done
with it? That'd be so good if they just managed to get him in on the show. That would be great.
He's allowed. If they attack him, then he could shoot them. No problem. Hell, you know what? Thinking of all that kind of stuff, I go, maybe it's Miz after all, but that's SmackDown, and I think he's Raw now, right? Or has he been drafted over? Because he might have been gone during all that shit.
Well, his tag partner's been released. I wonder if they're going to address that.
They're never going to address it. They will never say a word. He will have been never there in the company. You know how that goes.
It's so weird because, like, I reported a few months ago that they were going to have a feud, and it hasn't really happened. So,
well, we knew that too. I mean, you saw that it was going there, obviously.
And they reported that, like, Karrion Kross was coming back with a new gimmick. He was going to be more psychotic, and Keith Lee was going to be a heel. And
yeah,
I mean, these guys could, you know, these idiots can turn around and go, "Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. Like, you're wrong."
They planned to cut him the whole time.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Like, because I'm not fucking wrong, and these things were going to happen. But the fact is that this company's disorganized to the point where they actually make plans for people and go all in with that and have talks and ideas and everything and plan ahead with feuds and all this kind of stuff. And then just be like, oh, yeah, you're cut.
Fuck it. I mean, like, Keith Lee went and got all new outfits made with Bearcat and this and that. They're like, fuck it. Like, Jesus. When one of the guy's names, who the hell was Slapjack? What's his name?
Slapdick. Shane Thorne. He was getting Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, exactly. And you know what's funny is Fausti said to me, he goes, shit, I forgot that Shane Thorne was Slapdick. And I was like, oh, you know what? When the name was said, I just said, oh, I don't know this fucking guy. I completely forgot about that he was even in there. Yeah, that's great. He was going to be a Crocodile Dundee guy. He's better off being released. All these guys are.
Well, they're not, because they don't have any jobs.
Yeah, I mean, you always expect the other place to pick you. But it seems they could either do Mexico or Japan or whatever. I mean, they seem to land. I mean, there's a few guys that are guaranteed to land on their feet. Did you see Spud's whole thing that he posted for, I mean, it was quick. He came up, he made a movie real quick.
Yeah, in like one day.
Yeah, like, that's what I was impressive. Like, how the hell did you do this? I'm like, you sure you didn't know ahead of time?
Look, how far ahead of time would you know, though?
That's what I'm thinking. I go, shit, it sounded like he knew days before to make that. But he's got to call EC3. I mean, they could go do a TNA together. I that's the one I'm shocked that he's in TNA and not in AEW, because they would actually use him correctly over there, I think. And he could do the EC3 gimmick and, you know, that he used to do, which WWE completely screwed up two times now. So, I picked the Usos to win just because it's, I like the Usos better and they're in the bloodline. And, as we know, Riddle's going to be the world champion soon, so he'll get out of this tag team thing.
What did you say? Sorry, did you say?
I said we know that. I said Usos will win because we know that Riddle is going to be the world champion soon, so he needs to get out of this tag team.
Yeah, I don't know. This match for me is a difficult one because
Riddle just get pinned again. He gets pinned, no problem. Wasn't he passed out for 5 minutes in a ring before and they pinned him finally?
Who's passed out for 5 minutes?
Like, it was like two weeks ago.
Something to do with Omos.
Yeah, I think so. And he laid there forever. And it was like, he's still not recovered. It was forever he laid there.
Yeah, for me, this comes down to like scoring. So if I think Priest is definitely winning, that's one for Raw. And I think if Roman's definitely winning, that's one for SmackDown. And if I think the elimination match is a split, which I do, that makes it 2-2. So this is the interesting thing. The RK-Bro result affects the Usos result, essentially, if this whole night is going to be a tie or if somebody's going to actually win it and be a winner 4-2. I think if someone wins it, it will be 4-2. I don't think they'll be stupid enough this time to have somebody win 5-1 or sweep anyone again. So yeah, this RK-Bro match to me is really a case of, do I think Becky or Charlotte are going to win? Because if Becky's going to win, the Usos should win, right? Or if, because I'm pretty certain about the other results. The tag matches get split, Priest wins, Roman wins. So in this instance, it comes down to either Becky and the Usos, or RK-Bro and Charlotte. The combination of Becky and the Usos makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if they went tie. I really wouldn't doubt if they did that, because I don't think that's ever happened, right? And they always want to do something new.
No, and I think at the moment, whilst they're really trying to make you feel like you really wasted your time as much as you possibly can. A tie with no tiebreaker would be the ultimate way to slap you around the face.
Oh, I'm praying for it. I want them to waste my time. I want them to do this so bad now. It'd be so great. It'd be like, well, that was for nothing. Well, I mean, like I said in the other show too, where there's double storylines going on at the same time. You have to worry about your main storyline on your show, like Big E yelling at Owens and then going, I'm going to kick your ass, Roman. You know, they're trying to concentrate on two things at once. Everybody is. You got Liv Morgan yelling at Becky while she's yelling at Charlotte.
Yeah.
But this is this company. This is what has happened.
This is it. I don't know why they were so focused on creating those number one contenders anyway when they had all of this going on.
Yeah, wait the next week for guys. There's zero reason. Zero. They could have done it 3 weeks from now. But they did that. Wait till you see my new jacket that I got, Billy. My new zip-up hoodie. My new AEW zip-up hoodie.
Oh, God.
Yes. I'm going full-fledged. I've had it. They don't deserve all. The only money I'm giving them is for Roman Reigns stuff. So disgusted.
Okay.
I'm gonna get you a nice AEW jacket. How about that?
I would. I'm not anti AEW. I want AEW to be better. But yes. The fact is, it's not very good. It's not competing like it should be. And it's all down to their own mistakes and ego.
Do you think the show is better, though, than WWE shows? I mean, everything's better than Raw. I don't think there's even a question that whatever is better than Raw.
Yeah, it's better than Raw.
Yeah. SmackDown, I think SmackDown's still the king of the hill. And it comes down, if Roman wasn't on that show, they have better writing on that show still. So that does help. But Roman is really the cherry on top of that sundae. I mean, I watch for his segments specifically. They do such a good job, and I think they're really careful with let's not fuck this up, because it's really, it's the best stuff that is on wrestling right now. So, but then you get those little things like the Punk and Kingston thing, which I wish they should have probably done earlier than 1 week before the pay-per-view. That was like a surprise, a nice surprise, but they could have had a longer, you know, thing. But those small things, like you say, you're watching for the Charlotte Becky thing, that Punk Kingston thing made people buy pay-per-view.
Did it?
I think so. I mean, that was one of the ones where I was buying it anyway, but that was I can't wait because of the promos they did. And it was all because of promos. The shit that they were saying to each other was real. It was fun. It was I loved it.
Okay.
That got me. They did. All right. I guess that's it, Billy. Do you want to tell everybody where they could get your official picks for this so they could actually gamble on it if they are in an area that they can gamble on this stuff?
Yeah, it's lockbetting.com or the dirtysheets.com. For betting packages, the dirtysheets.com is a cheaper one because you can just get yourself a combat pack, which is just $40 a month. If you want to get it over at lockbetting.com, it's a sports pack. We're also pretty far into the month as well now, so I don't know if it'd be worth your while. You can shoot me a DM on my Twitter, which is at BillyK100, BillyK100, and I can do you a one-day package. You can just PayPal me $20 and I will get you the Survivor Series picks if you want to do that.
That's pretty good. I like that you do, you know, individual packages to do it. That's a good moneymaker too. You have five people who want that, boom. Like I have said, you want to listen to my reviews, and they're on this channel as well as the Lingus Mafia channel, and it's called the WrestleLingus Show. Go to my pinned tweet that is I'm going back to WrestleLingus, at Lingus Mafia, and check out the things you can get. I'm actually sending Billy one of the prizes that I'm giving away because I have another one. He's going to be getting a turnbuckle, but he's going to be promoting for me to be able to get this turnbuckle. Isn't that right, Billy? Here's a question for you. Would you rather...
You put more shows on my feed than I do, so...
I know. I help your feed. The subscriptions go up and up and up now. So here is... Well, we need it to go over the Conan show. We need people to hear on the Conan show. They've got thousands and thousands. They can come over. Here's the question for you, because I'm such a generous guy, and I won't even ask for anything more from you. It's what you want. I will send you either one. Do you want a blank turnbuckle like the one you've seen, or do you want it signed by Bret Hart?
What, the same turnbuckle?
Same exact thing. Do you want it signed by Bret Hart, or do you want it blank?
Oh, signed by Bret Hart.
Okay. That's what you'll get.
How do you have a choice?
Because I know the guy who knows Bret Hart, and I can have it signed.
So you have spoke to him again recently?
I spoke to him today.
Oh, so where are we at with our other thing?
We're not still. I asked again. And Yeah, we're not. But that's what I could do, though.
He can't do 30 minutes. Just
no, and I said, is it a problem because we worked with Bischoff and Russo? Because that was my thought right away. Because he checked out our show, everything like that, right? And he goes, he just said he'll pass. And I go, yeah, but is it because of this? He goes, he said he'll pass. I'm like, okay. I gotcha. Yeah, I know. But maybe one of these days, you know, it just wouldn't be when it's really important to have. So I will keep pushing, but I will at least get you that autographed turnbuckle instead. So
maybe we get it on a different podcast and just put it onto there anyway.
That is true. But I'm like, what podcast do we have that's not that he wouldn't look at and go, no, thank you?
Oh, you could do the sports gambling podcast.
You know what? That's what's got to be mentioned. That's from the sports gambling podcast. He'd be like, what the hell am I going to talk to you on that for? I mean, that's true. If he looked it up, though, it would show, you know, whatever the hell you have over there, how many followers are on that Twitter and stuff like that. That probably would help. How many people are on that sports gambling podcast Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
There's got to be a ton. That probably helps.
Let me have a look.
Yeah, because, I mean, you see somebody has a couple hundred or a couple thousand, it's a big difference. I mean, and by a couple, I mean, you know. 10,000.
They got 15,000.
There you go. 15,000 is pretty damn good. I would like 1,000. Shit.
The soccer gambling podcast. My soccer gambling podcast has 3,500.
If you had a hockey one, that would work.
My Billy Kay. What's my Billy Kay one?
That's got about 1,000?
Yeah, 1,242. That's only a fucking month old or two.
That's
months
funny
old.
That it's like that, and I've had my Twitter around for how long? I'm like, it was stuck at 665 forever.
You should have done a Cav K100. Like it would have just followed both simultaneously.
What's the difference? I'm trying to build up an audience on the one that I already have. But now, I mean, it jumped up into this, you know, higher sevens.
You
know, now,
all
but
you
shit.
Do, you build the fucking. You build a Twitter and then you post the podcast on the Twitter. It's common sense. You build the following first. You don't say I only want the following under this name.
But it's already an established. I mean, what's the difference? They can't go to Lingus Mafia instead of go to Cav 100.
Yeah,
I don't. You figure it's
that's pretty much.
They're just going. Yeah, much. Like I refuse to go to that name. But if it said Cav K100.
Because it's like you're telling them to follow your podcast, and they'd be like, I don't care about
your podcast.
But it's like if I was on there and saying, because I don't have any followers from at SGP Soccer from the wrestling community. And it's like, I also wouldn't like, if I was saying, oh, my Twitter account is the Dirty Sheets or whatever, I still don't think it's because it's the K100 and they're like, oh, we're just following all the K100 accounts. And that includes like me and Joe. Because I mean, Joe Feeney has 5,500, and he's just like the co-host.
There, yeah. Oh man! All right. Well, that is our show for this week, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. We will give you a rundown after it is over and our opinions on what had happened. See if they come out with a tie. Let's all hope they come out with a tie so we can bitch and complain because it'll be great. And I'm looking forward to seeing. If Charlotte lays down and then, I mean, if her contract's almost coming up, good. Let her lay down.
It's not.
Oh, that's not right. That's no good. She should go with her boyfriend who can't speak any English. That'd be much better. I do love the outfit that Andrade comes out in with that fucking, that skull mask and the suit. I think that's fantastic.
He fucking takes it all off like before he gets there.
Yeah. I'm always expecting him to take the pants off and I go, oh yeah, he keeps those on. I love the guys that don't have the tearaway pants and they have to take down their pants like they're taking off their clothes. It looks so stupid. So good. All right, everybody, go to at Lingus Mafia. You want to see those pinned tweets that we were talking about and see you could win a turnbuckle as well. That's on there too. So go check it out. For Mr. Billy Body, I'm Cav Manning. We're out of time.